If you think about it, everything we eat comes down to being either raw, cooked, or fermented. Now, the raw and the cooked parts are fine, but the really intriguing stuff begins with fermentation, like bread, cheese, pickles, miso, salami, tempeh, prosciutto, and kombucha. Sandor Katz lives to ferment. It's his life's work. He studied around the globe, and he has written a definitive book. It's for we laymen, and it's called The Art of Fermentation, an in-depth exploration of essential concepts and processes from around the world. Sandor, good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here with you today, Lynn.
So, Sandor, what is kombucha, actually?
Kombucha is sweet tea fermented by a very interesting community of microorganisms that's sometimes referred to as a kombucha mother, and sometimes it's referred to as a SCOBY, S-C-O-B-Y, which stands for a symbiotic community of bacteria and yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And this produces a lovely, refreshing beverage. And actually, people have begun to incorporate all sorts of other flavorings and ingredients into it. So there's actually a huge spectrum of different kombuchas that one could create or purchase.
We can do it at home, right?
Oh, absolutely. Kombucha is extremely easy to make at home. And when kombucha first began growing in popularity in the United States, when I first became aware of it in the mid-90s, I don't believe there was any commercially available kombucha. And it was just spreading as a grassroots culture, if you will, because the mother of kombucha grows with each batch that you make. And so all the people who make it regularly love to find other people that they can give kombucha mothers to, and it's incredibly simple.
It sounds like the mother is the zucchini of the fermentation world. But so how would we go about doing this, and where would we get a mother?
Okay, well, there are all sorts of trading posts online where, you know, people who are kombucha making enthusiasts and have more mothers than they know what to do with love to share them with other people. Mm-hmm. There are also lots of small commercial enterprises that are making kombucha mothers or kombucha kits available to people. And then basically all you do is brew some tea, sweeten it with sugar to taste, cool it down, put it in some sort of a wide mouth vessel that is not completely full because you want to maximize surface in relation to volume, and then just place that kombucha mother on top. Cover the whole thing with a thin cloth to keep flies and dust out, but allow for airflow. And depending on the temperature of your kitchen, wait anywhere from a week to 2 weeks and keep tasting it because it will become increasingly acidic as days pass. So, most people like to catch it when it's somewhat acidified and still somewhat sweet, but that's really a matter of personal taste.
Now, do you remove the mother to stop the process?
Well, removing the mother does not completely stop the process because basically the mother is populating the sweet tea solution with the community of organisms that's doing the transformation. So really, if you remove the mother, another mother is going to grow in its place. And I think I neglected to talk about one ingredient that's also important, which is a little bit of mature kombucha solution in with your sweet tea. And what that does is it acidifies the environment. And really what all ferments amount to at a certain level is creating selective environments to encourage the growth of the organisms that you want and at the same time discourage the growth of other types of organisms.
So where do you get this kombucha solution? Is it just go out and buy a bottle of kombucha?
Well, for your very first batch, yes, you can go out and buy a bottle of kombucha. But once you're in regular production, you will always have some mature kombucha to add into your next batch. And really, a culture like this that takes on a physical form, a SCOBY, ends up being a little bit like a pet in that it requires regular maintenance. You have to keep on feeding it. So, each time you harvest your mature kombucha, you start a new batch. So it potentially can perpetuate for the rest of your life or
That's
beyond.
That's amazing. There has been, though, controversy over kombucha. What's the controversy about?
Well, I don't know which controversy to start with. There have been lots of controversies. The most recent controversy is that a federal regulatory agency tested some bottles a few years ago and found levels of alcohol in excess of 0.5%. And, yeast is part of the community in kombucha, and kombucha generally has, some small percentage of alcohol. Typically, it's fleeting because as long as it's exposed to the air, acetobacter, which are also part of the community, these are the bacteria that convert alcohol into acetic acid.
Mm, into vinegar, essentially.
Exactly. As long as there's access to oxygen, these bacteria will convert any alcohol into vinegar. But once it's bottled, there's no longer access to oxygen. So there's the potential for greater accumulation of alcohol. So many commercial producers have had to alter their production methods. And some producers actually are not even using the traditional kombucha SCOBY as a starter. So I would call, some of the currently marketed kombuchas sort of simulated kombuchas.
Uh-huh. So what are the options in terms of flavoring the kombucha?
Well, if you do what I have described as a primary fermentation, and then after you pour off your mature solution, mix it with some fruit juice or vegetable juice or some sort of an herbal tea solution, then you can have a short secondary fermentation that incorporates, fruit or vegetable or herbal flavors. And I've just tasted some really, really exciting flavor combinations that were done in this manner. Then if you seal them in a bottle, you can carbonate them and have a carbonated soft drink. Wonderful.
Thank you. Great primer. Thank you, Sandor.
My pleasure.
Sandor Katz is the author of The Art of Fermentation, and let me tell you, this one is a keeper. His recipe for kombucha is on the website splendidtable.org.